Hi, I'm Brandy from Inspiring Bee. Today I'm talking with Mitch Mitchell about blogging, social media, and talking about race online. Hey, hi Mitch. I'm so excited to have you on here. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you for the invite.
So anyway, I really admire like your transparency, and you seem like such an honest person, and even your website name, imjustsharing.com. It just has all your personality in it, and you're just so honest and so candid. Do you think that's just part of your personality? Do you think it's important to have in business to be that way?
I do. I mean, I'll tell you the truth. I'm kind of an introvert, which
really?
A lot of people shocked to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I have the business me and I have the personal me. And So the personal me is kind of introverted. I don't go to a lot of parties. If I go to a party, unless I've known the people for a very, very good long time, I'm usually like one of those people who, okay, I've been here an hour, I want to go home now.
Sound like me.
Yeah. So I have that person, but then I have the other side where, you know, I've done speaking engagements all over the country, and I can stand in front of a lot of people, and I can talk, and I can do that because that's now a totally different thing. It's a business thing. And so I can do that with my writing as well, with the blogs and with the video. I can do that because I'm in my own space or I'm in my own mode, and it's not a personal thing. Doesn't mean I don't talk about personal things every once in a while to get a point across, but in general, I just feel a lot more free doing it that way.
I wanted to actually ask you about that because I interview a lot of authors, and I think a lot of authors are introverts, you know, and part of the business of being an author is to be doing social media, and it's difficult, it's intimidating, and I wanted to kind of pick your brain because you're an expert at that. What kind of advice could you give people that are writing, writers and authors, and how to be confident and courageous in sharing about themselves?
You know, the thing about it, it's the same with speaking in public, only a little bit different, because most of the time when you're doing a video, you're by yourself. I mean, I do my videos for the most part sitting at my desk in front of a webcam.
Yeah.
My office is red, so everyone can look at that and say, okay, he's in his, you know, once they know me, he's in his office. It's just me. If I can't talk in front of myself, then, you know, that's pretty bad. So I can do that. Occasionally, I go to the lake and I may speak there, and, you know, even though you're out in public, there's not tons of people there, you know, most of the time, so I can do a video there, or I can stop and do a video. That shouldn't take any kind of work whatsoever. I think what happens is people get nervous sharing their information with other people in that venue because, and I've heard this, what if I look stupid? Or what if they don't like what I have to say? And I'm thinking, well, but you wrote about it. what's the difference?
So do you consult people on how to be on social media too?
I have written about it a lot. One of my other blogs, the one you actually saw, the I'm Just Sharing blog. I've written a lot about social media on that one. I actually did a video years ago on how to do speaking, you know, how to speak in front of others. So, yes, I like to try to give advice on different things like that. Really, I am trying to share and I'm trying to help. I'm not going to lie. If I made money off of it, that would be pretty cool. But I still put these things out there because, you know, I share my stories with the, you know, hope that maybe someone will learn from it and say, hey, maybe I can do something like that, and I share my advice because I know that every once in a while, there's always someone out there who may send me an email rather than write a comment, and they share something with me and say, thank you for this and whatever. You know what? That makes it all worthwhile.
That's great. Do you have any specific advice that a writer and author could try, and practical advice on what, something they could do when they're using social media platforms for the first time?
For the first time, well, okay, since I'm way past that, I would probably, you know what, I think that it doesn't hurt to talk about what you know. So if you're an author and you've written a book, well, talk about your book. Talk about the process of writing it. Before J.K. Rowling got into all this trouble that she's been in lately, I had always been fascinated by her process of how she put all the information together and all these biographies she wrote of every single person and how she came up with the names of people and places. And I just think that was so fascinating. Mm-hmm. And her, you know, being willing to talk about how she did it, it had to help a lot of other authors. As a matter of fact, I knew a guy in a writing group who said that he started writing biographies of all his people because she did it. I think that is so helpful. Mm-hmm. And there's a big, you know, genre of people out there who would love to hear, okay, how did you do that? And what kind of research did you do?
Yeah, I think it's kind of circling back on what you said earlier when, you know, you're talking about yourself. Like, if we're introverts and we're writers and we feel uncomfortable talking about ourselves, if we talk about what we're passionate about, which is our writing, then some of that fear goes away, right? Because it's not about us. It's about the people we're trying to help. I think that's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah, I think if you get it off of thinking about yourself all the time, and you think about, you know, how it can help or entertain, then you should be able to do something. Maybe you start off, for instance, if you're worried about doing a video, you start off by doing a two-minute video. I would say 1 minute, but I'm changing it to two. Two minutes, you know. It's like the bit of advice I get about people who say they want to start a blog and never started a blog. I said, okay, sit down and write 10 articles. And people say, why 10? I said, because blogging is not always easy. And most people hate writing. So if you sit down and write 10 articles, then not only are you proving yourself that you have something to say and that you can write, but now you can go on your blog, put all of those articles on the blog, post-date them, and now you have at least 2 weeks' worth, if not a month worth, of articles that you don't have to worry about cranking out, you know, all that quickly, because now you've done the work ahead of time.
That's good information. And what about somebody who is already doing social media, but they're not getting enough engagement or like numbers? How do they become more successful at it?
Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't worry about numbers, and I know a lot of people who do. I know on LinkedIn, for instance, they got this group of people called Lions, and basically that's someone who will connect with everybody, and they have tens of thousands of people that they connect with. Some of them have hundreds of thousands. And my thing is, okay, and who are you talking to? Because you can't talk to that many. You just
yeah,
can't.
That's a lot.
And then someone else said on Twitter, the guy said, well, yeah, I have 300,000 people following me. How many are you following? 280,000. How do you talk to 280,000?
Yeah.
I don't worry about that because I have a lot of people who share the articles that I put out there, and they go to big numbers, so at least I'm getting that. However, one of the things that I learned in doing my own testing is that people who just connect with you because you're a big person putting out a lot of stuff don't actually tend to read any of your stuff. So me, I want people who are actually going to read what I write or are going to watch the video that I create. So I don't go for tons of, you know, viewers. Because what happens is if you've got someone who actually likes what, you know, what you're putting out, they will share it with their friends who are more apt to read or watch what you create. To me, I think that's so much better than trying to keep up with 300,000 people. Oh, my goodness.
I can agree with that. Let me ask you this, though. If somebody is doing social media and they're not getting any engagement at all, not even hundreds of thousands, but, you know, just a few people are following. Is that a good time to kind of reflect and do a shift, a pivot?
Yeah, well, I guess the thing is you have to ask yourself, okay, why am I not getting any engagement? Truth of the matter is I don't connect with anyone who is not talking to other people. So if someone wants to follow me or, wants, you know, someone follows me on Twitter, I check out their profile. I will go back through maybe 100 messages talk to anybody, or are you just, you know, pumping out links? If you're just pumping out links, I'm not interested. If you're a little more focused on just political things or religious things, and you're not, you know, nothing else, I'm probably not going to follow you. But if it looks like you talk to somebody, you know, maybe someone left you a message and you, you know, thank them for that, or you saw something that they wrote and you comment on it, then that's where engagement starts. I don't know if you remember some years ago, for instance, there was a guy after Serena Williams had won the U.S. Open again who said, well, she's basically just a man who looks like a woman. And it got a ton of heat. I think he did it on purpose. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I had a conversation with the guy for an hour. It was a German kid. And he said, so how are you going to go at me? I said, we're going to talk about ethics.
And so he did
for an hour. And a lot of people watched me and this kid have this conversation. And, you know, because I didn't want to just beat him up for saying what he said, which was stupid. But I wanted to talk to him about ethics. I said, well, I noticed in your picture you have a girlfriend. What if people started saying the same thing about her or wondering about you or whatever? He said, well, that would be mean. I said, do you understand what I'm saying here?
That's awesome. That's really great, because I think a lot of times, like, especially now in the world, we're so, you know, divisive. We're so ready to, you know, put our fists up and argue with people. But it's great that you took the time to, like, get to know them and have a real conversation. I think that's what we need.
Yeah, and you can do that sometimes. And I, you know, I mean, the other side of that, of course, is that it's been, I'm not going to lie, it's been a rough last, you know, 4 to 5 weeks with what's going on.
Yeah.
And there are times where I may have led with my emotion more than my, you know, my knowledge or expertise or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been the rare thing. In general, I've been able to have conversations with people and explain certain things if that needed to be, and agree with them on certain things if that comes up. But the thing is that you have to be willing to talk to someone. Yeah. I mean, if you're connected with every person I'm connected with, I've talked to at least once. Sometimes way more than once.
Yeah.
You know, when I first got on Twitter, you know, do you know Guy Kawasaki?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So I'm in one of his books.
Wow.
As an editor. And this was in 2008 when I first joined Twitter and I saw his name on there. And I, you know, wrote him just to say hi. And then it turned out he had a book that he was looking for people to volunteer to edit. And so I volunteered. And I didn't find out, this is funny, is the fact that I didn't find out until 5 years later that my name was in the book.
Oh, oh wow. Well, that's exciting.
Yes, it was. But it was funny because, you know, then he sent me the book. So, you know, and he wrote, you know, he autographed it for me and thanked me for help. I just thought, well, that was so cool. But that's the thing about being able to engage people. You have to be able to do that.
That's important. I think when we talk about social media, a lot of times that's like not discussed enough. Like I think, and a lot of the other authors that I've talked to said that it's about connection and engagement, right? It's not so much about sharing all the lovely things that you're doing, but like about reaching out to other people. And I think especially right now, because we're all like sheltered at home, or most of us are, having that connection is like just so important.
Yeah.
What do you think people can do? Like, what advice do you have for them if they're, you know, I was going to ask you about like some of the trolls that you might get or on social media. I think that's one of the fears that authors have with putting themselves out there is a lot of us are introverted and we're sensitive people, and, you know, writing things and creating things comes from our soul, like, you know, and getting negative feedback is difficult. I mean, it comes with book reviews and things, but also on social media. How do you deal with that in your own social media platforms?
I block them.
Nice. But,
you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. The thing is, there's people out there who may disagree with you, and if they're amiable and want to talk about it, okay, that's different. But when the bots hit you, mm-hmm. or, you know, folks are just, feels like it's piling on, it doesn't have to be piling on, you know, I will block a person in a heartbeat on Twitter. Like, okay, you don't mean anything to me. On YouTube, I have the filter set where it blocks any bad words.
Oh, all of them. Oh, wow, I didn't know you could do that. That's great.
Yeah, so if anyone tries to leave a message and they throw profanity in it, it never shows up. YouTube blocks it. Wow. I had one guy who, and I know it was so funny, he got so upset that he got blocked that he tried to comment 9 different times.
Oh my God.
That was funny. And LinkedIn, which used to be totally for business until Microsoft bought them, well, there are people who are saying some of the nastiest stuff and things that you just sit back and say, where did that come from? You know, and you're representing your business or your company. Why would you say that? And you can get engaged with it, but, you know, there's that thing, and I don't know the exact quote, but talked about, you know, if you argue with an idiot, you become an idiot or something like that.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
So, you know what? You block them.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, that's the best way. As long as you're not going out of your way to cause controversy, because obviously there's people who do that, but a lot of those people start getting beat up. And next thing you know, they're shutting down their accounts and doing all this other kind of stuff. You know, I think it's okay to take a position on something, but it's how you decide to take that position on something. And if you seem like you're reasonable, people aren't going to totally bust on you all that much. But, you know, it's like when you first go into business for yourself and you're saying, oh, my goodness, what happens if I get, like, so many people and I can't keep up with all the business? And then you realize after 6 months, okay, I guess I didn't have to worry that the whole world was going to be flooding, wanting to use my services all at once. You know, it's the same with you know, engaging with people and having all this stuff happen on social media. It's not going to turn out the way you think it is. The numbers are going to be really low until you get really, really big numbers. And then once you get really big numbers, sometimes some of those people start to think that, you know, they can pretty much get away with anything, and that's when the trouble starts. But the trouble never starts with, you know, I follow just over 1,000 people. I have almost 5,000 following me, but I follow just over 1,000. I don't have any of that kind of drama because, you know, I vet everybody I get connected with. And every once in a while, if it's someone who saw it on someone else's thing and they just want to kind of start trouble, I'm thinking, well, you know what? I don't know you, so I don't care what you have to say. Blocked.
That's awesome. And for the different social media platforms, like, you know, I don't know if you saw a while ago, they had, like, different pictures for every platform. Like, Facebook is a different picture, and then, like, Twitter and, like, you know, LinkedIn is more professional photo and things like that. So I know that every social media platform has a different personality. And I think that's, for me personally, like, what makes it difficult is how do you know who your identity as, like, that this person putting these things out there, and how do you switch between different platforms?
I think that folks need to be able to determine why they're using a platform and what they want to do with it. For me, I love Twitter because I actually talk to people on Twitter. I talk to people all around the world on Twitter. I've talked to celebrities on Twitter. That has been fascinating.
I'm on
Facebook mainly because my relatives are only on Facebook. I mean, truthfully, my relatives, some of my longtime friends. Now, I've connected with other people since then, but I went into that knowing, okay, these are people that I know, and this is a totally different thing. LinkedIn, I was one of the first 500,000 people who joined LinkedIn. I got a cup thanking me for that.
Really? Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I went to LinkedIn because I was an independent consultant. I am an independent consultant. And I wanted to have a way to get out just the business information on the social media page, which you really can't do that much on Twitter. There's no sense doing it on Facebook. So you put it out there, and then you have a chance to share different things on there and hopefully connect with other people, you know, in business who may be looking for you for whatever reason. That's what you have to do. You have to kind of make that decision. Mm-hmm. I think that if you're a writer, you need to be on something like Twitter. Facebook, you know what, that's not really going to help you any. And it's not going to help you much on LinkedIn unless you're, like, a blog writer. And, you know, you want to show some of your talent there. But it's strange in the fact that most of the people I'm connected to on LinkedIn who say, you know, they're blog writers, never share anything on LinkedIn. So you just told me you write blogs and you've written for all these blogs, but you never share anything to show anybody how you can write.
Yeah.
You're missing a great opportunity.
That's interesting. I wanted to ask you, too, when you said about Twitter, if you're a writer, you should be on Twitter. Like, I agree with that. I actually started on Twitter a long time ago, and I had a lot of connections there at the beginning. But now I feel like it's just become this mass platform where you get lost in the everybody else. And it's a very political now. I hear a lot of writers saying it's very political now. But how do you stand out? Like, how do you get your voice heard when there's so much people on there?
Okay, now, here's something else about Twitter. You can block things you don't want to see on Twitter. So, in other words, that guy who is leading the country right now, I have his name blocked. I have the VP's name blocked.
Yeah.
I have his cabinet members blocked. I have certain prominent people in politics who I may not. I have them blocked. The thing is, what that means is that if someone I'm connected to shares something on Twitter, I never see it, because the names are blocked.
How do you do that? Is it pretty simple?
Yeah. Right on Twitter. As a matter of fact, you go to your Twitter page, and it's got, you go into your settings, and then it gives you a place where you can block words or phrases.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. So I have a lot of that. So I there's tons I don't see. And that's a wonderful thing in my mind, because I don't want to always get into that.
There's some kind of impulse sometimes that we have to just share on social media without thinking about it, and then we regret it later. Do you have any advice for that?
I do. Well, it's two things. One, don't put anything on there you didn't think about first. I mean, we'll just get that out of the way. The other, and I've written about this multiple times, if you want to express your First Amendment right, just remember everyone else gets to express theirs
People just need to take a breath, before they impulsively text or send out a tweet or something, or put a comment on, and think about the repercussions. I mean, I think, like you said, there's a way to engage with other people about difficult topics and not agree on it, and still, hold yourself accountable and not spew hateful things that are, just going to create more havoc in the world than there is already. I also wanted to ask you about voice. I mean, we talk a lot about voice in writing, but I was thinking, even in social media, I think people have, distinct voices for different platforms and to get across their message. You seem pretty consistent in your voice throughout, but I was wondering if you had any opinions about that. Like, how does somebody find their voice in different platforms, and how do you do it?
Well, in social media, I think I probably use the same voice everywhere, but I will go back to writing. I've been writing since I was a kid. I mean, I wrote as a little kid. I wrote my little stories. I used to write, of all things, my version of movie scripts based off of Star Trek, only we changed all the names.
That's cool.
Did that. Yep, wrote poetry, wrote blogs, journals. I did all kind of that. I wrote song lyrics for the longest time. And then I started with a newsletter when I had my business. A year after I got a website, I started putting out a newsletter. And it took me maybe 3 years before I found how I wanted to communicate to people, because it was a mess. At the time, I'm just thinking, okay, I'm putting these things out, this is fine. But when I went back to read some of those later on, I said, wow, these were horrible. Oh, goodness. And so you find your voice and you figure out, okay, this is how I can communicate, and this is how I should be writing. It didn't mean that the stuff earlier wasn't honest. It was just blocky, and, you end up repeating yourself. Mm-hmm. You throw in too many words here and there. It gets confusing, even though you know your point. You're not getting across properly. So I think that if you can find your writing voice, it's easy enough to find your social media voice, because I basically have the same voice.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah, I mean, because I think it can feel intimidating, but I like thinking of it that way, that it's just a writing voice, because It kind of feels like there's a spotlight on you, you know? I mean, when I first started going on Twitter, it just felt like that. Like, I felt like there was a mic, like a light on over me, and I whatever I said, everybody was reading, which is so untrue, especially now. But I think thinking of it like that makes it seem more doable. You know, you're just, you're being yourself, and you're being the voice that you have as a writer.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, if you can't find that voice, then you may need to look at what you're writing and say, you know, maybe I'm missing something here.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking it might depend, too, on the different genres that you're writing. Like, maybe nonfiction, you know, your voice probably is going to be same as what you're writing in the book. But, like, if you're writing fiction, I'm kind of curious about how you would have a voice there. It'd be more as an author, different from the voice you'd have as a character, I'm thinking.
So I've mainly written nonfiction, but I was part of a library writers group, and I was working on a detective story.
Oh, cool.
Actually, I was thinking of a few things, because I wrote some short stories also, but I was working on a detective story. It was going to be a long novel thing or whatever. And what I realized is that one of the characters was kind of based off of me, but wasn't. You know, my character was younger than me. My character was taller than me. Character looked better than me. But the morality of my character was me.
Mm.
And so I think that if you can relate some of those things to characters that you write about, I mean, I don't know that everyone does it, but, you know, Stephen King will even admit that usually there's one character in his stories that is him.
Mm. Hopefully it's not the really horrifying one. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he's a little scary. I read one of the books under his pseudonym, and I said, okay, I'm never reading another one.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was telling another author in the earlier interview that even his nonfiction book on writing, you know, the book on writing by him, scared me. Just the little pieces. I know, because I'm sensitive in that way, but it's just because in the little pieces that he did talk about his book, it was terrifying. He's a genius, though. So I know we're getting close to the end, but I saved the one difficult question for closest to the end. I know on your YouTube channel and on your blog as well, you've been talking about racial issues, and I think that's really important, and so I wanted to mention it here. I think some people are afraid to post things right now on social media, even though, you know, they have an opinion about it. And I was at first a little bit, I had a hard time understanding that. But then, you know, I wrote a blog about it, and I get it, you know, and when we're faced with some kind of fear, we like have fight or flight responses or reactions. But I just wanted to ask, you know, what your opinion is about how people can say things, you know, it's like a delicate issue and they're afraid about saying things. But yet I think it's important that we do speak up. But do you have any advice for people who want to say something, but they're afraid about like stepping on toes or saying the wrong thing? I think that's a common fear, saying the wrong thing.
I have to answer this from two different perspectives. If you're a minority and you're writing about it, you're probably writing about your own life.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff that's happened
to
you because you've been the minority.
Yeah.
And you know, the writing I've been doing and the videos I've been putting out lately, it's all true stuff. Every single bit of it is part of my life. And, you know, it hasn't all been bad, but it's been truth. So all I'm doing is telling stories. Look, this is what happened. This is something that you don't have to deal with that I had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to deal in 2002. Do I put my picture on my bio page on my website or not?
Wow.
You know, mm-hmm. that's something that a minority has to deal with in healthcare, where there's not a whole bunch of us. I ended up doing it anyway, but, you know, that's not a question that anyone else would have. Someone else might say, geez, I think I look goofy, or I don't know if I look. That's a totally different mm-hmm. thing. There's no height I am, you know? So from that perspective, I think that if you feel strong enough, you know, have a thought that's strong enough, and you put it out there, you know, who's going to beat you up except for people who you were never going to reach in the first place? Now, from the other side, I think that what happens is there's those phrases that come out that folks don't know are insulting, but are.
Yes, yeah.
If you say, you know, I never thought of black people as being any different than me. No, that's not good.
Yeah.
I understand if it was someone I knew who said that, then I would understand that. But if I don't know you, that would, be one of those questions, you come back, okay, how did you not see it? If we've been sitting on the bus every day for a year, even if we didn't really know each other, you've had to have noticed something, that's different, how people react different to us. If we work together in the same company, you've had to have noticed something. You've had to have heard something. Because that's just how it is. So in those types of, conversations that you have, you might be giving away a little bit too much on yourself. Unless you're saying, I have messed up and I've told you this, whatever. It's a different thing. However, that might not be how you feel. I'm one of those people who is, and I've written about this, I have gone against the one thing that has been said a lot over the last bunch of weeks, which is you're either for us or against us. Well, that came up in the 60s by Malcolm X. It came up in the 60s by Martin Luther King Jr. Mm-hmm. It came up, a bunch of times over history. I tend not to believe, I don't believe that every person needs to take a side. It's helpful, but you don't need to say anything. And I'm not going to sit here and say, okay, you're supporting the other side. I'm not going to say that. Now, if you did the white power symbol or whatever, okay, now we may have a problem. But, I did one of the videos where I talked about going to a bowling tournament in Northern Maine with a bunch of other kids. And within minutes of being there, starting to realize there's no black people in this town. And I knew that because of how they were all reacting to me.
Wow.
And luckily they were all being super nice. But there's not a community in the country where there's only black people who've never seen a white person.
Hmm.
So if you live in a community where you didn't have any minorities, your perspective is going to be different. That's just how that is. That's what diversity is all about. That's why, I talk about diversity. That's why I've written about diversity. Because you can't assume someone is going to have a certain thought or whatever because you don't know everything about them. You don't know how they grew up, what school they went to, what college they went to, who they hang out with. You don't know any of that stuff. So if that's your history and background, don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to expect you to. A lot of younger people are going to expect you to say something, but you got to be true to yourself. And, because I'm older, I'm 60, I'm not one of these people who's beating up someone because they wore blackface in the 80s.
Yeah.
I'm just not doing it. Everyone who was doing something did that back then, but it wasn't all mean or whatever. I mean, a lot of people used to try to dress up like Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson mm-hmm. was the biggest thing in the world. Big deal. Prince was one of the biggest things in the world, so people were dressing up like Prince. And then you're going to come back 25 years later and say, well, that was racist. You said, I'm not beating up on those people. I'm not beating up on someone who was a teenager and said something when they were 13 or 14 years old on Twitter that might have been inappropriate. Because they were a kid. I think there's those limits that you draw something at a certain point. Adults are a different story. But
yeah.
That's how I judge things.
I mean, I think what you said is true. And I wonder, too, if there's people who are saying things like, oh, I didn't realize that you're different. I wonder if there's a opportunity for conversation with certain people. I think it's okay to say things if... because I think a lot of people don't say, like you said, and it's okay not to say, but then if they do want to say something, I think it's a good chance for an opportunity to have conversation. Because, I think that before everybody was very PC, right? And I think closing the doors on conversations like that created a lot of, prejudice and discrimination that was just hidden. I think now that things are coming out, I don't know if it's shocking or not, but it's sort of shocking how we haven't really moved that much forward. And I know, like you said in one of your videos, you don't think things are going to change, right? But I wonder if it takes something like what you did with that one boy on Twitter and like having that conversation with him, or to educate other people that maybe they want to know, you know, like what is okay to not to say and what they should say. I mean, I think that's okay to want to know and want to do better too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the opportunity is there. Right now is a good time to have those conversations.
Yeah.
You know, back in the 80s, when I would have people, and this happened more often than once, where someone said, you know, I don't think of you as black. To which my response was, you should.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would throw them off, and that would, you know, kind of change their mood or whatever. But, you know, I've lived in this body my entire life. For you now to say that you don't see me as being what I actually am, but you've separated me from everybody else, tells me you have a problem with everybody else.
Mm.
Now, they'll start backing off and say, well, I didn't mean it that way. You yes, you did.
Yeah.
You meant it that way. You said it. A lot of people have said that, but it does give you that opportunity to try to say something to someone that might help them see something in a different light. And if they don't, well, now you just realize, okay, this is someone else who has a certain opinion. I get to be the oddity, but I don't need to be the oddity in their life.
Yeah,
luckily,
exactly.
It's never been anyone who's been a friend of mine. Okay, let me rephrase that. That did happen once with someone who was a friend of mine, but I'd known him since he was a kid, of all things. And once I explained it to him or whatever, he understood.
Yeah, I think so, because I think the intention is good. I think people are saying that because, well, not everybody, I'm not speaking for everybody, but sometimes they say that because they want you to feel like, I like you for who you are, like not because of your skin color or what your, you know, religious orientation is, whatever that means. But I think it's missing a big compassionate factor of what it's like to be you, and that you have a very different experience from other people. And I think it's just because, you know, I learned in my graduate program that we're all living in different jars, you know, of experiences. And so we can only see through our own jars. And I think that that's helping to educate people who don't realize that when they say that, it's hurtful, you know, because I think it comes from a good place sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the, can I touch your hair thing?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm not going to lie. In college, I didn't necessarily mind that. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But in high school, I minded. I didn't mind so much in college. And then once I got into the business world, that became a no, you can't touch my hair.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I know that that's still a thing sometimes where someone will see someone else, you know, different group, and I say, you know, can I touch your hair? They're just fascinated by it. Well, you know, can I try on your clothes?
Yeah, that's a good thing to see back. I think a lot of it is just a lack of like knowledge or experience, or nobody can understand what you've been through, right? And I think race, unlike other parts of someone's experience, is very like visible, and it affects you in your whole life, right? But somebody else has never walked in your shoes can never understand that. And so I think that has to be kind of like an education thing. But anyway, I know I didn't want to like go over too much, and I know your time is very valuable too. Like you have a lot of going on. But I just wanted to ask you one last question, which is if you have any resources that, you know, a writer, author could read up on or take a class on learning more about how they can become better at social media.
Oh, boy. At this point, you know what? No. I mean, I used to keep up with a lot of that stuff. I don't keep up with as much now. I do know that there are some blogging people who speak specifically just about writing. And I'm only connected. Actually, I don't think I'm connected to any of them anymore because they don't write as often, but I used to be connected to them. However, I will just say that on my I'm Just Sharing blog and on one of my YouTube channels, I've talked about writing, and I've talked about social media, and, you know, you can go in there and do a search, and maybe you'll find something that's helpful.
That's
and,
great.
You know, if not, you know, email addresses are always easy to find. Send something, and, you know, we can have that conversation. But
that's
there's
great.
A lot of people out there. You know, one of the people I interviewed some years ago named Holly Jehangiri. I don't really know how to pronounce the last name. I can spell it, but it's hard to pronounce. for me. But she's a writer, and, you know, she's written a bunch of children's books. And she's someone who talks about the art of writing all the time, but she doesn't write about it as much on her blog. But, you know, there are just a bunch of resources out there. You know, you go to Google or DuckDuckGo, and you pop something in, and something's going to come up.
Yeah, and I can get the name of the author, like, if you could send it to me, or so I can add it to the notes, too. And then I'll also leave your website so that people can check out your blog. But anyway, Mitch, I just wanted to thank you so much. Like, I just found it so easy to talk with you. You're just so authentic and real, and I could feel that in your blogs and in your emails. And I just really appreciate that. I think, like, being honest and candid right now is so needed in this country and this world. And thank you so much for being generous and sharing your honesty with us today.
Well, thank you for wanting to talk to me. I appreciate that.